want to thank Ron Jaworski for joining us, and now a guy that understands leadership and building quarterbacks, not just because of systems, but teaching them leadership. Marv Levy, how are you?
Just fine, Nick. Always great to be with you.
Last time, of course, we check in with you about every month to see how things are going, and J.P. Lossman started off well. It's had some other issues as well. Give us a quick update on your perspective on this team and how it's fulfilling the development curve that you set for it.
Well, as you know, we're struggling. We're 3-6 right now. We've been in almost every game. We had one wipeout at the hands of the Chicago Bears earlier when we turned the ball over any number of times. Like most young quarterbacks, it takes a while to develop. Peyton Manning, I understand, threw 28 interceptions as a rookie, was 3-13. Troy Aikman was 1-15. We like the potential we see in J.P. Lossman. We like his character, his attitude, his work ethic, his intelligence. The cast around him has to get better. He has to get better. But it's something that we feel is heading in the right direction, Nick.
Well, we talked to Jim Kelly yesterday about the phenomenon of so many quarterbacks, and Lynn Dawson's talked about it so many, where they are overloaded with their plays on their wrist. They aren't allowed to call their own plays. And some, including Sam Huff yesterday, said, you know, the best thing that could ever happen is to take away that microphone and the helmet. How do you feel about that?
Sam Huff said that, Nick? Is that
Sam
what you said?
Huff.
I know Sam well from my days at the Washington Redskins, and he once again said something which I think is very astute. I agree. Simplify, and you will do better. I think coaches are carried away with, look at how big my playbook is. Teach what players can learn, very important.
You think that's a problem right now with our friend and my good friend Al Saunders, that the so-called 700-page playbook, now Washington decided and has announced that they're going to go away from Mark Brunell, that maybe, you know, in addition to matching the particular skill sets at each position, your quarterback's got to be comfortable. He can't always be thinking too much, and maybe that was Mark Brunell's problem?
Well, it could be. And, again, I just espouse my philosophy. I don't denigrate another fine coach's philosophy. They may disagree with me. It's just how I feel, and I don't say it critically of others who may be coached in a different direction. Nevertheless, I have found, when you mentioned you spoke with Jim Kelly, we ran a so-called no-huddle offense, very few plays. He had command of them. Our linemen had command of their blocking assignments. We got repetition on those plays. People might say, yeah, but you don't create enough problems for the opponents. I think you do, more than you realize.
Well, you prevent them from substituting. So let's talk about that. What about just that simple thing, that suddenly in the age of specialization, the defense, the coordinators, all of that, they can't suddenly throw in 3-4 extra guys at the right time?
Well, Nick, you're talking to a guy who, and maybe it's because we ran it and ran it successfully, can't understand why that isn't the predominant offense in the NFL. You can't substitute. You can't communicate very well. Your defense gets tired. As I already told, some of the benefits that the no-huddle teams get, great repetition. Your practice is shortened. You have an understanding. What are the shortcomings then? You put your defense back on the field in a hurry because the no-huddle is fast-paced, and whether you score or whether you have to punt, your defense is back out there. But I think the benefits outweigh the difficulties.
Well, Jim Kelly spoke extremely highly of the way that you managed him, the way that you turned him loose. Here's his comment on Ben Roethlisberger and some of the dilemmas other quarterbacks in this league have to face.
A lot of plays on the wristbands. I talked to Roethlisberger. I see all the plays that are on his wrist, too. And even, I think I watched it the other day, when he was up the line of scrimmage, almost under the center, and he's looking at his wristband. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at the defense. What are you looking at your wristband for? So, I don't know. You know, you always look at a guy like Brett Favre, and of course I admire what Peyton Manning has done the last few years and the type of quarterback he's become, probably one of the best. And I'm sure by the time he's done with this whole thing, he'll be one of the best ever to play the game, because he gets out of plays when he has to. He's almost like a coach on the field, and I'm sure that the other two gentlemen will agree with that, that when you're a quarterback, you should know the ins and outs of everything that's going on anyways and not have to worry about somebody sending plays down into your ear every single play.
Marv Levy, that's our good friend Jim Kelly, and you saw what a difference that made to turn that offense loose. And let's look at a guy who's early in his career, tremendous expectations after only 9 games. I was surprised with the maturity with Rex Grossman, having been sacked early in the game, pounded by New York. found a way to get it done. And for that reason, I believe Rex Grossman and the Bears may have the character, may have what it takes to take it all the way. What do you think, having seen them and what they did to Buffalo?
Yeah, I have a very high regard for them. One of the things that allowed Rex Grossman to survive those early mistakes was a great defense and an outstanding kicking teams around him. You stay in the game even when you make a mistake. You know, if a turnover occurs early, you can't keep doing it. And your defense stiffens and keeps the opponent from scoring. You're not having to play come-from-behind football, and you have a chance to redeem yourself. I listened with great interest to Jim Kelly describe Peyton Manning. He was also, he didn't know it, was describing himself.
Yeah, he was, and we missed that. I think the reason that people admire Brady and Manning is that's the kind of leadership, because you can see them thinking on the field. Who are some of the other people? We just talked with Ron Jaworski about Philip Rivers and the advantage when a Marty Schottenheimer could mold the leadership and the character of this man to bring it out, having the patience with the benefit of a Drew Brees, of course, who created that opportunity, but certainly the patience to sit a number one draft pick for 2 years. Is there a strong argument that if general managers can have that patience, it will pay off?
Yeah, I adhere to that philosophy, Nick, very much. I think plunging them in right away, unless they are an unbelievably resilient young man, is going to expose them to failure and self-doubts and mistakes. I think bringing them along. So Joe Montana didn't play till late in his second year, for instance. Jim Kelly came here as a first-round draft, but he had played a couple of years in the USFL, and that certainly helped. And again, I mentioned Peyton Manning, 3-13 as a rookie. Aikman, 1-15 as a rookie. Terry Bradshaw, 1-13 back in a 14-game schedule as a rookie. So it takes a while.
Well, here's that same Sam Huff talking about the few quarterbacks that can call their own plays.
I mean, who in the world could call and play for Lenny Dawson? You know, I mean, it's kind of like saying to Pat Day, who rides a racehorse, say, Pat, you got to ride this horse this way. Well, a trainer that's never ridden a horse, you know, why should he tell Pat Day how to ride a horse? And that's just the way I think about it. The worst thing I think the NFL's ever done is put a radio in the quarterback's ear and make him stick with the play that is called from upstairs in the press box.
Marv, let's get back to you to our last 5 minutes on the show today. We really appreciate you joining us, knowing how busy you are. Now you're heading into the second half of the season when it's crunch time. It's cold up there and windy in Buffalo. You've got the home field advantage, but you know you've got to create that personality on the team. What are some of the things you have learned now that you're midway through this season, in terms of what are the most important decisions you have to make?
Well, you have to remain resilient. You have to know when to change and when to stay the course on things. You know you're going to get many suggestions. Oh, abandon this, put in this new guy, do that. And sometimes you don't want to be resistant to making a move when it's a wise move to make. And I don't want to relate this to politics, but it does, even there. But you also have to know when it's important to continue to develop what you've worked on. Resilience is one of the most important things that you must have in the National Football League, or really in, under any worthwhile undertaking.
And how do you do that? In other words, you're now having to let your head coach show that sort of character and through his example, because we know the best coaches essentially create a persona for the team that mirrors themselves.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's very important. I was a related thing. People once said, how do you motivate your players? And I said, the answer to that is easy. You select, at this level, intrinsically motivated players. Well, if I'm looking for a coach that I want to install character and be a good teacher and all of that, that's the type of man you bring in, one who does have character, one who is level-headed, one who can handle difficulties. And he can convey that by his everyday demeanor and activity, not by a one speech or a big pep talk.
We talked with Boomer Esiason last Friday about Tom Brady, and because it's interesting to see the best teams, and of course New England is one of them, and how much they understand the inner workings and the potential of their players. Tom Brady obviously at the top end, along with Peyton Manning, of the capacity of a quarterback to affect everyone around him. And here's what he had to say about Scott Pioli and his insight into Tom Brady when everyone thought New England no longer had the firepower at their wide receiver position.
change of pace. But Scott Pioli, the VP of personnel for the New England Patriots, I was giving him a whole lot of gruff before the game. So listen, number 12 is such a great player that I think you guys take him for granted. You got to give him some receivers, you know, that can be like, you know, Pro Bowlers and all this other stuff. I know he makes everybody better, and that's the true greatness of a great quarterback like a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady. He said, Boomer, don't worry about it. Just calm down. We know what we're doing. And I said, yeah, I know you know what you're doing, but please get him a Pro Bowler next year, maybe in the draft or something. And then he comes out, and they don't even attempt to run it against Minnesota, and they move right down the field. And all of a sudden, Doug Gabriel, who was lost in Oakland, looks like he's the next coming of Jerry Rice, for crying out loud.
That's Boomer Esiason. So you have those rare individuals that are beyond the system, but it's also a Scott Pioli. It's those people in personnel, the general managers, that see the potential of those rare players that can do it. Tell me, what are you looking for? What are you able to do now, having been in the job now for quite some time this year? It's still not more than a year, but still, that is helping you in terms of evaluating your players and giving them the support they need to be the best.
Well, first of all, I say it again, ability without character will lose. I don't care how much ability, you don't want a guy with character, because that character involves the resilience that I'm talking about, because there are going to be some disappointments. You want a player who is unselfish. I don't want to confuse character with personality, Nick. I mean, you can be an extrovert. You can have a legitimate, boy, I'm happy when I make a big play, but not some contrived, I'm going to lie down in the end zone, and I thought about this. What you should be thinking about is how to run your pass routes, not about what kind of... So that's an important aspect. Work ethic. Work ethic. Do you show up for work every day? Are you on time? Those are very important things. Those are the things that win over your teammates, that make your teammates proud to have you as a teammate. And then pretty soon it all pulls together. And you mentioned Gabriel performing so well with Tom Brady there. Good players make good players around them better. They are able to capitalize on the good qualities of their teammate.
Finally, Marv, once again, thanks so much for joining us. A team that has been going in one direction, Cincinnati, its defense has fallen apart with a head coach known for being one of the best defensive minds in the league. And I can't help but think that Cincinnati's off-the-field problems were an issue. And then you contrast that with Indianapolis that had the distraction, the tragedy at the end of the year. Last year, after starting 13-0, and they are back at it again. Is Indianapolis the team to beat? It's an easy question, but truly, to me, their ability to resist all of the distractions, to me, that's the great accomplishment of this season.
We're talking about Indianapolis now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and yes. I agree. The character starts right from the top. General manager Bill Polian, the Tony Dungy, right through the coaching staff, many of whom I know and have great respect for. What prevails in the team? I talk about great receivers. Probably, to me, the best receiver in the game right now is probably Marvin Harrison, but you don't hear that much about him because he's not self-promoting all over. He just shows up and plays, and he's an example of so many of the people on their team. Are they going to win every game? Always? No.
Marv, we wish the best of luck to you because we know that you're the right person at the right time for Buffalo. Wish you the best of luck, and we'll check in a few weeks, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Nick. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.